realized that what he said matters. And so really and truly, being a teacher is a serious thing. What you say does matter. But guess what? Verse 2 throws us all in with verse 1. Look at verse 2. He says in verse 2, indeed, we all make many mistakes. He's saying we all make many mistakes with our mouths. We all say things that we should not say. We all make comments that we should not make. He says, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, your mouth, we would be perfect or mature. That word perfect means complete. It means mature. We would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Now, this is an astounding truth. What James is saying is if you can control your mouth, you can be spiritually mature. See, a lot of times we think, no, if we study hard, we can be spiritually mature. But what James is saying in those verses is that if we can control our mouths, we will be spiritually mature. And the big idea is spiritual maturity is related to mouth control. Now, the amazing thing about your tongue, and I want you to think about this, your tongue never gets tired. It's a muscle, and it flaps all the time. I've never had someone come to me and say, I'm cramping in the tongue. I mean, think about it. And studies have been made that we speak between 30 and 50,000 words a day. I mean, I want you to think about it. We speak a lot and never get tired. And what James is saying here is, listen, the sign of a mature person is that they control what they say. And that is the hard part. Because everyone in this room knows that when you gossip or slander or talk ugly about someone, you just don't feel very spiritual. Would you agree with me? I mean, I hate it. You feel filthy when you make a comment, even if it's true about someone. You feel dirty, don't you? And it's because we need to understand that as a Christian, we have the responsibility to control our mouths. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 15:11. He said it this way. He says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. That ought to hurt. It's not what you eat. It's what you say. What comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what's in your heart. And so if a person, and I want you to think about it, you think about goals for your life. When you are a person that is Christ honoring, Christ exalting, when you are an edifying, when you edify, when you encourage other Christians, what you're really showing is that you're spiritually healthy. But if you're gossiping and slandering and tearing people down, what does that reveal? It reveals what's in your heart. And you see, we don't hear this a lot because we talk about what you do. Oh, that person, they did that. That person did that. We don't talk about what you say. Do we? We should. Because what you say can derail someone's personal life. I'll tell you something. I've accepted God's forgiveness for this, but this is an example how when I was in high school, my words hurt someone else. I grew up in the Baptist church, and when I was in high school, I was cool. I thought I was real cool. And I went to Sunday school and church because I had to. That was not an option. Bill Ashburn, My dad said, you go, you have no option, Bill. You say, Bill, that's going to make your kids not go to church someday. I'm in church because my dad made me. But anyway, but my dad was a member of the Methodist Church. And there's a guy that I went to high school with. I still remember his name. This is how tragic it is to me. His name was Todd Sylvain. Let me tell you something about the Sylvain brothers. They were twins. They were straight A students. They were very clean cut, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do all the things I was doing. But anyway, they weren't Christians. They went to church, but they invited me to come to church with them, to a special event at the Methodist Church. And you know what my words were? I'm not really into that stuff. I'm not really into that. And what I really was saying, I didn't say to him, is I'm too cool for that. Listen, if you're too cool to be around other people, your heart's wrong. And you know what? Here's the tragedy is. This is the tragedy. This is what I have to live with. After that, he quit being involved in church. Good guy, still moral guy, still a good guy. But my words influenced him in a negative way. You see, spiritual maturity is when you're able to control what comes out. And for your information, there's a lot of stuff that didn't come out that I want to come out. And when it comes out, I feel bad. I feel dirty. Why? Let me tell you this. Let's talk about it. You don't have to teach someone to be ugly with their words, do you? It's the sin nature. You don't have to teach someone to gossip. You don't have to teach somebody to slander. It's just in our lost nature. And so James is just saying, hey guys, you want to see a sign of spiritual maturity? It's not how much you know of the Bible. It's how much you control your mouth. Now, it's important to know the Bible too. But we need to understand that controlling your tongue is your responsibility. Now, look at verse 3 and 4. He gives two illustrations. In verse 3, he says, and I'm just having to go on what all you people know about this because I'm not a horse person. Matter of fact, I had to look up what a bit was last night. How many of you have horses? Some of you have, okay, I should have called you and had you bring a bit. Okay, Bethany, what does the bit fit on? The mouth. The mouth, but specifically goes on the tongue. Yeah. Okay, here we have this gigantic, huge horse. And what is on that horse's tongue? A bit. And that bit is connected to the reins. And the reins allow you to direct that big horse, correct? But the amazing thing to me, it's a little bitty bit on the tongue that makes that possible. And James says, listen, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And then he goes, he says, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Have you ever thought about that? Those big cruise ships that you get on, how do you turn them? You turn them with a little bitty rudder in the back. On a smaller scale, it always amazes me when I get in a boat with Sam and he puts that little trolling motor in the water. It just looks like a fan, you know. And he puts that trolling motor in the water and it takes that boat with two big guys wherever he wants it to go. But it's a little rudder. And James is saying, listen guys, wake up and realize that that little tongue in your mouth has incredibly good potential for harm or good. He says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. That tongue can cause a riot. That tongue can cause people to calm down. That tongue inside your mouth can either do great things for the glory of God or it can destroy a person's life. Look what he says next. He says, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. I mean, if you think about that, it's just an amazing thing. You know that a little spark can totally destroy a forest. And we all know that because we're surrounded by a forest. You don't need a flamethrower to get a fire started. You just need a little spark. And so when we see this here, we see the incredible power of the tongue. It can move people to have violence, or it can move people to be peaceful. It can encourage people to be in church, or it can drive people away from church. It can encourage people to read their Bible, or it can discourage people from reading their Bible. The thing that we need to understand is that this little tongue can destroy or make better. Every marriage that gets destroyed most likely had something to do with what was said. And every marriage that is good is usually because of what was said in a positive way. Churches have been destroyed by one person's gossip and slander. Just something that was not thought through, something that did not glorify God, got out of the mouth and destroyed. How many friendships have been ruined because of words that were unkind that were spoken? How many kids have grown up with parents that have taught them that they're worthless, that they're no good, they'll amount to nothing, and believed it? You see, your words matter. They have the ability to literally set on fire a forest. And on October 8, 1871, at 8:30 p.m., a lantern in Ms. O'Leary's barn was presumably knocked over by a cow. It ignited the great Chicago fire. Get this. Before it was contained, 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people died. And 125,000 people were homeless. Why? Because of one little fire. How many times have we seen forests in the United States destroyed because of a cigarette? You see, what James is saying here is your tongue can make people better, make your marriage better, make kids better. When kids come on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, I don't want to hear the words, "This kid's no good." No, this kid has a lot of good in him and has potential. It's my job to bring it out of him. It's your job to bring it out of me. Pretty soon kids start believing. You know, I never grew up with this. So I can't. But I've had people tell me my dad told me I was stupid. My dad told me I was worthless. I can't even imagine that. My dad told me I was special and sometimes needed a spanking. You know, it's your tongue. Howard Meeks, every time I saw him in the hallway at this church, he always said something positive to me. Your tongue can do great things. And then he gets personal, because this, look at this. He gets there to verse 8, and he says, go to verse 7. He says, "People can tame all kinds of animal, birds, reptiles, and fish." I can tame a fish. That's not any big deal. But no one can tame the tongue. And look at this. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. Listen, sticks and stones hurt, but words kill you. Listen, I'd just soon be hit as told something negative. When someone comes up and says, "Pastor, I got to be honest with you," I want to say, "No, you don't. Lie." Because I know when they said they're going to be honest with me, it means they're going to let me have it. In Jesus' name, they always yell. But no one can tame the tongue. It's full of restless evil. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." That is one of the scariest verses to me, because when I think about my grandson, when I think about kids, when I think about my wife, when I think about you, my tongue either makes you better or worse. Power of life and death. Then look at verse 9. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so, look what he says, and so, blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. And in the Greek, that "this is not right" is emphasized. This is wrong. Think about it. Now, I'm fixing to step on toes, and I always pray before I step on your toes, but you come in here and you praise God, right? Good thing. And then you go home and you put on Facebook about how stupid the president is. Okay, now, don't pull the stones out yet. Who's made in the image of God? Yeah, I may not like you, I may not like your politics, but I sure better care about you, because you're created. Every single human is created in the image of God. He has not made one worthless person. Now, worthless people choose to be worthless. And if you'll notice on my post, I'm sometimes trying to counter your post with positive things about Jesus and Spirit. I just made a decision a long time ago. I'm going to be positive, not negative. And what I want you to understand, no one is not created in the image of God. And sometimes, I'll be honest, I feel like when it comes to politics, I feel like I'm standing right here. People on the right are bashing, and the people on the left are bashing, and I'm just in the middle taking it like this, you know. But he's serious. How do we praise God and tear down our neighbor? Now, I'll tell you how you do it. Your sin nature wants to do it. When you make me mad, I want to tell you off. It's not a spiritual gift to preachers get of. No, preachers get mad. Sometimes they say things they shouldn't say. But the truth is, only Bill can control what comes out of his mouth. And that's a sign of I'm either growing, and trust me, by what I used to say, I've come a long ways. But look what he goes on to show. He's just showing illustration after illustration. He says this, and he says, does spring water bubble out from both fresh and bitter water? And the answer is no. Does a fig tree produce olives? No. A grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So what is he saying? He's saying, if your tongue is under control of God, it's going to change the way you speak. Now, to try to get practical, maybe I have it. Shut your mouth, and I'm going to go quickly on these because these are things that you should know. Shut your mouth to lying. Christians somehow think that if they lie to keep from hurting someone, that they're spiritual. No, you're not. Lying is lying. What is lying? Spreading false information with the intentions of misleading other people. That's what lying is. Well, it's not a big lie. It's still a lie. Complaining. Shut your mouth to complain. Yeah, people complain. And most Americans have nothing to complain about. Shut your mouth to gossip. You know what gossip is? It's when you know something about someone else that could destroy their character or their personhood. What you do, instead of going and being concerned and talking to them, you tell someone else. What about slander? Slander is, you're passing on. It may be true, may be false, but the whole reason you pass it on is to destroy someone's character. What about flattery? That's when you come up and say, I really like that sermon, Pastor. And inside you're thinking, you're a jerk. I've never believed one thing anytime somebody goes, that's a great sermon. I just hope it is. But you know what flattery is they don't really mean it. And I'm not saying you don't love my sermons. I'm not saying you do. Flattery. Just don't do it. Boasting. Except when I'm playing pickleball. Not in a tournament, no. Angry words. I hate you. Critical words. You know, one person said that the only person that... I can't remember. I lost that one. Let's go to the next one. Dirty talk. I just don't need to be talking in any way about things that are dirty, female, male. And you know what I'm talking about. I've had Christian friends that it's just not okay. Dirty talk, obscene, silly. Listen, marriages are destroyed by what comes out of the mouth. Friendships are destroyed by what comes out of the mouth. Churches are destroyed by what comes out of the mouth. And yet, we don't understand the importance of shutting your mouth. Now, should you open your mouth? Sure. Number one, you should share the good news. If you're going to share something good. Share the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you. Share the good news. If you're going to share something, that's good. We need good news. Share the truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way like Christ, who is head of his body, the church. It is, if I love you, I'm going to be honest with you, even when we disagree on something, but I'm still going to say it in a loving way. Speak the truth in love. And as Christians, we can say, I love you, but here's the truth. And it's important to speak the truth. Here's another thing you do with your mouth. You can praise him. Psalm 51 verse 15 says, unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. Bless others. How do you do that? I kind of got hung up on that. How do you bless others? And I found this definition. Blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. It isn't just words. It's actually putting forth your will for the good of another person. So if I'm going to bless you this morning, I'm going to speak good into your life. And not only that I'm going to speak good into your life, I'm going to try to help you be good. Does that make sense? That's blessing. And in Proverbs 11:25, it says, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. So in other words, if you really want to make a difference in someone's life, bless them. That's what Howard, I think, did every Sunday for me. Just little simple things. He blessed me. And then he was there to help and support. And then here's the last one, and I want to end with this because this is so crucial to me. Encourage one another. This is where I want to kind of sit for a second. How many of you, and this is where we have to get vulnerable. How many of you have had a difficult week? Raise your hand. Raise them high. Okay. And if you haven't had it this week, next week, you'd raise your hand, right? One of the benefits of the body of Christ is I want to encourage you. I want this to be a place where you can be as low to the ground as possible. But you know, when you come here, people are going to speak words of encouragement. Open your Bible because I want you to have this verse. It's so important. Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Okay? Let everything you say be good and helpful. So that, and I love it, always circle so that because that tells you why. So that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. There is someone you will run into today that needs a word of encouragement. There is someone that is going to cross paths with you this week that is struggling to just make it. They don't need judgment. They don't need condemnation. What they need is a kind, encouraging word. But see, here's what's important. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I have to know what you're going through in order to be able to encourage you. Right? I can't read your mind. I can't read your week. He says, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. That's why when I see you, I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. But I want you to be that way too. And you know, when I come up here and say, I want you to read through the New Testament, I'm trying to encourage you. And I want you to encourage other people to read through the New Testament. When I say I would love to have you in life groups on Sunday mornings, I'm saying that because I really do want you to come and be blessed by other people. Church is fine, but small groups are where it's at, folks. Don't use foul or abusive language. How many kids need a parent who's going to say what is good and helpful? You need to be that way. Look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Another one I just love. Paul is writing, they're being persecuted in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. He says this. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. In other words, we ought to be challenging each other to do it, to be better. And then he says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. And then look at what he says, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is dawning near. Listen, this place has the potential to explode simply by God's people encouraging one another. People say, I just need a revival. You do. And you're the key to it. Listen, whether you're a teenager or a child, when you speak words of encouragement, you make a difference in someone's life. And everyone needs a word of encouragement. We all get beat down. I was reading in Acts 15 because we're reading through the New Testament. And I read this last week. And I've been noticing in the book of Acts, over and over again, Paul was talking about when he would go and preach and teach. But then he would go back to churches he had been in. And every time he went back, he did the same thing. And here's what he said in Acts 15, verse 32. It says, then Judas and Silas, both being prophets, spoke at length to the believers. And what did they do? Encouraging and strengthening their faith. Man, there's some weeks you just need someone to say they love you. Listen, with your mouth you can say I love you. And I say that to men all the time. Because I can always tell whether their daddy said it to them. Then they get used to it and they say it back. But I want you to know that I do love you. I don't say it to women because it doesn't work right in this world we live in. I tell Julie I love her, and I tell Liam. I'll tell Wanda that I love her sometimes. You never know. But encouraging and strengthening their faith. And then you get to Colossians 3:17, and I'm done. Because it's the command on how to live it. Colossians 3:17 says this. And whatever you do or say, circle say, or whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to the God and Father. God the Father. In other words, whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative of Jesus. Listen, the best thing for a bad week or a bad day is a Christian who speaks words of encouragement. And so I've really struggled with how to end this. I really have. Mary, could you play something with that ghost too? Or are you only okay? So what I want us to do, I want us all to stay seated, but I think it's hypocritical just to say, "Oh, let's have a prayer and go home." Maybe you're struggling, okay? And maybe you just need someone to pray with you or encourage you. This is your time. And so, as Mary's playing, if you'll come down the front, I will be here. But then if more people come down, more people will come. That is the strangest thing. We might go to the piano, the keyboard, or the guitar. Piano over here. Hey, you can say the revival happened. We got two people playing our keyboard at the same time. That's crazy. But here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to just be in a spirit of prayer. But maybe you've had a bad week. Maybe you need encouraging. And y'all, get over your pride. If you need it, come to the front. And we're just going to have a time of praying for you if you come down. If no one comes down, then we'll stop. But anyway, I'm going to ask that I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then I'll open it up. And if nobody comes, we'll close it. But it's a time to pray and encourage each other. Let's pray. Father, I come to you. May we always be open to be encouraged by other Christians. That's really what it's all about when it comes to being the body. So, Father, help us to respond and to bless each other. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you need to come to the front and pray, this is your opportunity.